Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all ye people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. This is God's word to us today. Thanks be to God. So let me ask a couple questions. Any of you ever say, oh, I yearn for the good old days? Oh, I wish we were back in the good old days. It sounds like from the giggles that a few of you think about the good old. What made the days back then the good old days? I'll just hold it. Yeah. What made them the good old days? Yeah. I didn't quite hear it, but even you think of the good old days. What else? Well, I had a little bit more time to think about this than you did. Milk was delivered to your place, put in a milk box. I remember that. You know, you didn't have to go buy milk; it just came. It came to you in a milk box. We didn't have to lock our cars. We didn't have to lock our houses. No. In fact, the other thing is we didn't even have to wear seatbelts. So when we were driving around, we would stand in the back seat. You get a better view. The kids are all standing in the back seat, you know, no seatbelts, and you even picked up hitchhikers. You picked up hitchhikers. In fact, when I went to Grove City College, this was my first year, I was so lonely for Lisa, my high school sweetheart, that I would hitchhike home for a weekend. To my mom's surprise, she says, what are you doing home? You know, you should be back in school. I'm like, no, I belong here. I want to see Lisa. And when Lisa and I first got married, we would drive home from Grove City with $5 in our pocket. But, of course, back then, gas was what? 36 cents a gallon. Postage stamps were 8 cents. Oh, we yearn for the good old days, don't we? We yearn. There wasn't terrorism, there wasn't pipe bombers, you know, not in our country. You know, there was mayhem other places, but not here. We were happy-go-lucky. We'd sit on our front porch, we knew our neighbors, the churches were filled. In fact, we'd get dressed up to go to church. We got dressed up. And, you know, Sundays were a day of rest. Sundays were a day where we'd go have a big dinner with the grandparents. We'd go on those Sunday drives. Oh, don't you yearn for the good old days? Well, on and on. There was prayer in schools. You know, we respected our teachers. We respected leaders and you know, people in authority. We respected them. Oh, the good old days. Well, I think you understand. If you are in that mindset, you are now in the same mindset as the remnant that Haggai was given the word of the Lord to in Israel. They saw the glory of the temple back then. They saw how magnificent it was, and now they're looking at it and they're going, I wish we were back in the good old days. You know, so if you're in that mindset, I think you can now hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is speaking to you because you are a remnant. You're the remnant. You're the remnant right here. So we're listening to this. So it says three times Be strong to Zerubbabel, the leader, and it said, be strong, Joshua, the priest, and it said, be strong to the remnant. That's you and me. Because, why? Because I am with you, says the Lord. Be strong, for I am with you. So look to someone and say, be strong, for the Lord is with you. Be strong, for the Lord is with you. All right, look to somebody else and say it. Be strong, for the Lord is with you. Be strong, for the Lord is with you. Yeah. Now, it says, be strong and work, for I am with you. So let's talk about work. It says, be strong and work. Now, what do we know about work? Well, when I think of work, let me say this before I say that. Work is nothing new. Work is nothing new. In Genesis 2:15, when God made humanity, put us in the garden and said, work, take care of it. You know, take care of it. In fact, actually, if you read it very closely, it's when God put man in the garden and said, work and take care of it. And I'm thinking, I just thought of this morning, that may be the reason he also made a woman to help in the garden, you know, because if you just put me in the garden, it would not be a good garden, right? So he put us in the garden to work and take care of it. We're here to work and take care of it. There's many, many verses. Ephesians 2 also says, you know, you are made in the image of God to do good works. We're here to do good works. God is a working God, and God expects, you know, us to partner in the work. So it's nothing new. We're made in his image. We're made to work. So we're here to work. So let's talk about work. Work is what? It's setting aside our wants, our wishes. You know, it's setting aside our wish to, sleep in. You know, not set an alarm clock. Stay in your pajamas all day. You know, watch, ESPN or watch, you know, As the World Turns or, you know. Is that still on? Yeah, it's setting aside what you want to do, and it's a matter of giving. It's a matter of giving your time, you know, it's a matter of giving your time to a job, to a task. You give your time to a boss, maybe you give your time to a client, or maybe you give your time to a customer. You give your time to an organization. You give your time. Did you hear it? It's working is setting aside what you want to do and giving of your time, your talents, your treasures. It's setting aside what you want to do. It's giving yourself to a higher purpose, to a larger organization. That's what work is all about. In fact, if we think about that, we think of the model of work in terms of Jesus Christ. Who came to show us how to do work. He showed us how to give and showed us how to serve. And he showed us, you know, so many good examples of this, but at the Last Supper, when he stripped himself, he stooped at his friends' feet and washed their stinky, gross feet. He set aside what he wanted to do. And he, even in the garden, he says, not my will, Father, yours be done. He's setting aside what he wants to do. When he's working, he's giving, he's serving, and he's serving you and me. So when we think of work, we think of setting aside our desires, our wishes, and giving and serving. Now, So what is the Haggai's word? What's the Lord's word to us through Haggai? It's to work, give, and serve, for the Lord is with us. And it says, don't be afraid. Work, give, and serve, for the Lord is with us. Now, here's the thing. We partner with the Lord in this work. We partner with the Lord. The Lord is the one who gives us the strength We simply use it. For instance, here, the Lord gives us breath, but you have to take it in, right? If you would stop breathing right now for 3 seconds, it gets uncomfortable. I don't know if you did that or not, but if you stop, there's plenty of air around, plenty of air, but you have to take it in, right? So we partner. The Lord gives, but we have to do it. The Lord gives seeds, we have to plant them. The Lord gives you energy, you have to actually use it. The Lord gives you talents and abilities and treasures. But if you just sit there and don't use them, you're not working, you're not giving, you're not serving, you're not partnering with the Lord. So now here's the thing. We have to take the first step. We take the first step. Because a couple of examples about this. When in Joshua 3, the Israelites were just about ready to go into the Promised Land. They're ready to cross the Jordan River. Now, you would think by taking the first step, you think that the Lord just blocks up the river and says, okay, just walk through. That's not what happened. The river was at flood stage when he says, cross the Jordan River. So the priests actually had to step in to a flood stage river, then it stopped. They took the step, then it stopped. Not the other way around. It didn't stop and then said, okay, just, you know, here you go. In 2 Kings 5, there's a story about Naaman who has leprosy. And Elisha is the prophet, and Naaman says, send for Elisha, I want him to heal me. So what Naaman wanted was just for Elisha to say a few words and say, you know, be healed, my son. And he said, that would be enough for me. No. Elisha said, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you'll be healed. Naaman got angry. He goes, what? I just want you to wave your hand. I just want you to heal me. He goes, no. The Lord says, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you'll be healed. So finally, his servants go, you know what? You ought to listen to the guy. And so he went, and in the going and washing, he was healed. One other one is, in Esther, Queen Esther had to try to save her people. She had to go before the king. Now, it was unlawful to go before the king if you're not asked for. So you know the story. She said, pray, fast, here I go. She said, if I perish, I perish. So she took a step toward the king, you know, at the risk of death. She took the step. You see, so we have to take the initiative. We take the step. The treasures, the abilities, the talents are all ours. We have to go, work, serve. We take the step. Now, the other thing is we read, Lois read Malachi 3. It's the last book in the Old Testament. And she said, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and I'll bless you. Bring your first fruits here, and I will. God says, test me in this. Test me and watch what I do. You know, and here's the thing. We give first and then get blessed. We give first and then get blessed. It's not the other way around. Because if you try to wait and you go, well, wait till I have enough. Let me tell you something. If you're 100-aire, you'll never have enough. If you're 1,000-aire, you don't have enough. You never have enough. If you're 1,000,000-aire, I don't quite have enough. If you become, one of you becomes 1,000,000,000-aire, you're not going to have enough. You never have enough. No one ever has enough. So you have to give first and then get blessed. That's how it works. And Malachi tells us that. He says, test me. Test me in this. You know, show if nobody ever has enough. So we take the action and we step into the water. We go wash and get healed. We go before the king. We have to take the action. We take a leap of faith. That's how it works. So we work, we give, we serve, because the Lord is with us. We don't be afraid. We're not afraid. So say that together. We work, give, and serve, for the Lord is with us. Say it again. We work, We give, we serve, for the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid. So let me give you a couple more examples and then two final stories and I'll end. I heard an example of a retired guy like me going to a racquetball court. He'd go every day, play racquetball, and he noticed in there a salesman, a guy just up and coming. He's a salesman, but he's playing racquetball every day. And the retired guy goes, "Why are you in here playing racquetball every day?" And he says, "Because business is so bad." And he says, "Wait a second. If business is so bad, why aren't you out there making business better? You know, take the step, take the leap. You got to be out there." Another one, sort of related, is Andrew Carnegie, the steel guy. His chief salesperson came rushing into his office one day and said, "Mr. Carnegie," he said, "we broke all the sales records last month." He says, you know, so he's jumping up and down, you know, doing the high five. "We broke all sales records." And Andrew Carnegie looks up and says, "Okay, what'd you do today?" he's like, "Okay, that's passed. What did you do today? We are the ones who work, give, serve, for the Lord's with us. We can't lose. Friends, we can't lose. So here's a couple ways to respond, and these are not mutually exclusive, but a couple ways to respond. A few weeks ago, Lisa and I were watching Unsolved Mysteries, and there was this really interesting story about this Army sergeant or private, his Army guy, I don't know what rank he was. His name was Jim Baskowski. Now, he was about ready to be sent to Vietnam in December of 1967. Well, once he heard his orders, he quickly called his sweetheart Dolores, his high school sweetheart, and said, "Let's get married before I go off to Vietnam." And so she agreed, and they got married, and then a couple weeks later, he's off to Vietnam. Well, 2 days before he was about ready to be reunited with Dolores, this was like August 29th, 1968, his platoon was attacked, a couple of his friends were killed, and he was severely injured. He was helicoptered to a medevac hospital, and he woke up and he saw a nurse, Captain Linda Sharp. So he woke up with severe pain and saw Captain Linda Sharp, and his injury was so bad in his leg that it had to be amputated about at the hip. So she was with him as he had to take ice baths, as he, you know, got the fever down, as he she helped encourage him to recover. So she was there encouraging, working, giving of her time, serving to help Jim recover. Now, a couple days, he was about ready to return home, and she took him outside under the stars and promised that she'd have a beer with him. So he's out there, have a beer, and she said, "Jim," she says, "you have to write a letter to your wife, Dolores, to help her understand what it's going to be like to live with you through the emotional, the physical scarring and all this. She's going to have to help you." He couldn't do it. So she said, "I will help you write the letter." So she helped him write a letter to his wife, Dolores, and explaining what had happened, what he was going to be going through, what they would be going through together. He credited her. The show ended where he actually got together with Linda after like 30 or 40 years or something like that. He met her. He attributed his survival to Captain Linda Sharp, who sat with him, who gave of her time, and she, you know, worked overboard to help him recover and encourage him along the way. So friends, the question is, who are you working for? Who are you giving to? Who are you serving to encourage and to build up the body of Christ and to build up a friend, a colleague, a family member? You know, who are you there for? Now, a second way of responding to this is certainly, as Lois read, Malachi 3, it says, would we rob God? Will we rob him of our tithes and our offerings and our treasures? Will we rob him? He says, "Test me." He tells us to test him. Now, you know, it's it's usually bad if you try to test the Lord, right? But he tells us to. He says, test me in this. See if I won't pour out the treasures of heaven. Well, let me tell you, from personal experience, this word is true. This word is true. As we tithe, as we give our first 10%, it's amazing. We don't have to know how it works. We don't. It just does. It works because you're giving. He wants your first allegiance. He always wants our first allegiance. And then, you know, he opens the storehouse. He opens the storehouse. So he's going to amaze you. So as we work, as we give, as we serve, as we walk along others and encourage others along the way, we do it in the name of Jesus Christ, who didn't just come and say and show us how to work and to give and to serve. He didn't just say, hey, do this. He actually did it. And he didn't just give 10% of his body. He didn't give 10% of his blood. He didn't give 10% of his breath. He gave it all. He gave it all. He was beaten, bloodied, put on a cross so that we would live. So we'd live abundantly. So now we go, we work, we serve in the name of our risen, reigning Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.